بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وشاوروا في الأمر وإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Today is 3rd July 2009 in Kempton Park. Inshallah, we will try to discuss about conflict management and how to accommodate when there are differences. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. We praise Allah jalla majdahu for blessing us with Iman. And we praise Allah ta'ala for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we get two incidents before the proclamation of Nubuwwat. We must use this word before proclamation of Nubuwwat because a Nabi is born a Nabi. Every Nabi is born a Nabi, a Rasul is born a Rasul. They proclaim their Risalat or Nubuwwat at the age of 40. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was at the age of 13 or 14, then during that time, the Arabs had a pattern of life, they were fighting with each other. Something happened in the bazaars of Ukas, in the market of Ukas, then they began to fight between the Quraysh and the Quraysh tribe. And when they should fight, they should literally kill each other. And because of these fighting, thousands of lives should get lost. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took part in that battle. Because the Hashimites were on the right. He states that he was gathering the arrows and giving it to his uncle Abu Talib. So these tribe, the Arab tribe, they should fight for stupid things and silly things. If they were having some horse racing and one tribe won, the losing tribe will fight for the next 10 years, kill each other. During that time, they should transact very poorly and badly also. And this fight which I spoke about was called the War of Figure. One person came into Makkah al-Mukarramah, Zaidi, and he came with his merchandise and his goods to sell it. One person from the Quraysh asked bin Wail or Wakil, He said, I'll buy your goods, and he took his goods, he took his merchandise. The person said, now pay me. He said, no, okay, I'm not interested in paying you. That person is from outside Makkah al-Mukarramah. He's running to all the chieftains of Makkah and asking them, see, this person took my goods, this person took my merchandise. He's not paying me. Someone do something about this. Now they were doing this. The people coming from outside Makkah, the Quraysh and other tribes, they take their goods and say, okay, we got your goods now, you can go away. Bid you farewell. It happens in our age also. I think it's happening in our age too. They take the goods and disappear. Then when you phone the house, you ask, where is the chair? They say, bathroom. Where is the toilet? Western world left us with bathroom toilet. You understand? So, respected elders, so you may think, oh, it was happening those times. It's happening these times too. Professional crime, white collar crime. Nevertheless, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that during the time the Quraysh began to wake up, and a person called Abdullah bin Jadan, he was a wealthy person and famous for giving dawah, famous for inviting people. So he invited the Quraysh for a big meal. And he told them, see, this is wrong. So this person has come from outside and Az bin Wail has taken his stuff, his goods, and he's not paying him. This is not right. This is no justice in this. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as young as he was part of that fact and that agreement and that decision making. And they made a firm resolution there. And it was called Halful Fudal. They gave the merchandise paid for or returned that merchandise. And from that day they stuck to it. That anybody coming from outside, if he sells the merchandise, then payment must be made. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, latter part of his life, he should say that that pact which I participated in, if I have to re-participate in such a pact, I'll do it. Another place he said that that agreement and that pact which I participated in, I value it more than red camels. Now red camels was regarded as something most valuable there. That's why they use all the time that if you learn, for example, Quran Kareem Ayat 1-2, then you will get sawab and you will be earning more than red camels. So red camels was a measurement there. And he said, I value it more than red camels. Then we know of one famous incident that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was involved and helped in the reconstruction of the Kaaba. When the Kaaba was reconstructed and completed practically. Remember that there were various constructions of the Kaaba. If you go to my website alislam.co.za, you will see history of Kaaba. You can pick it up there. Now it came, they had to put the Hajri Aswad. Various tribes have participated in construction of the Kaaba. When he come to the situation and the junction of putting the Hajri Aswad, so all the tribes said, no, we must do it. We are noble, we are the people entitled, and everybody wanted to do it. There's a conflict now. And what they resolved, that the person coming into the Haram first, he will decide. So they waited. First, Alhamdulillah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the next morning came into the Haram. Everybody began to say, here comes Al-Amin, the trusted one, the honest one, and he will make the decision. Respected elders, see the diplomacy of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And see the tact of him. And see how clever he is. What he said, meanwhile in the evening what these tribes had done, as a symbol, they had dipped their hands, their fingers in bowls of blood. They said, if my tribe is not going to put the Hajri Aswad, then there is bloodshed here. And for them, bloodshed was nothing. As I told you, they were fighting 10 years, 15 years, without any qualms. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this now, every tribe wants to put the Hajar-e Aswad. They are prepared to kill for this and fight for this and battle for this. If there is no resolution or no solution, there is going to be bloodshed. Lives are going to be lost. Widows created and orphans created. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls for a sheet. And he places the Hajar-e Aswad in the center of the sheet. And he tells all the tribe leaders that hold the sheet, lift it, and bring it to the place where the Hajar-e Aswad has to be put. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the Hajar-e Aswad and he himself with his Mubarak head places it there. Conflict resolved. Everything, everybody is happy. Respect the elders, but now when you look at it, see what he has done. First of all, he has given participation for everybody. In conflict resolution, give participation to everyone. Secondly, make everyone feel important. And give them significant positions. Thirdly, there is one factor here, that all are relying on the decision of a person. They have placed their confidence in one person. And in modern terminology, we call this mediation, which goes on to arbitration and which progresses towards discipline. Discipline in hearing. See, exactly here, in mediation and arbitration, you put your case and you leave it to one person. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَشَاوِرُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Even in political matters, domestic matters too, that the head of the family must decide, make a decision, and he must be firm in that decision that we will act after consultation. See, all of them place confidence in Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the first instance, see, Abdullah ibn Jadan, what he did, that he invited everybody and he gave them a meal. So if you have to resolve differences between parties, call them to a meal. Don't be stingy and miserly. Call them to a meal, put them on the table, let them discuss. And let them recognize one person that he is the mediator, he is the arbitrator. There is difference between mediation and arbitration. Mediation is more negotiation. Give take. Arbitration, the person who is the arbitrator is going to make a ruling. Now, see what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done here. An explosive situation, he has calmed it down. Brought everybody down and everybody is happy with the decision of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look at a corridor of history, when you see differences, then how to react to those differences, and how our elders reacted, and how our elders behaved. Firstly, just let me say something. Last time I spoke to you, we spoke about how the Shias tried to say that the Sahabas had differences, meanwhile the Sahabas had no differences. What I forgot to mention there was also that Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she passed away, then according even to Shia sources, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who led the Salat in Janazah. So if there was a difference between Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who and Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu, then how will Hazrat Ali allow Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to lead the Salat in Janazah? You will never allow your enemy to lead Salat in Janazah of your wife. In the time of Alamgir Ramitullah Ali, Alamgir was fighting a battle with Sivaji. And Sivaji, he now had lack of food in his camp. He wanted some time so he could continue the battle. So he contacted Alamgir Ramitullah Ali's mother and asked her that, what must I do? I'm fighting with your son, I'm battling with your son, there is war there, but I don't have food enough here. I cannot maintain my military. What am I doing? So she told him that arrange a meeting with Alamgir and tell him you want to make mashura with him. Tell him you want to consult him. And they're telling him that you are fighting with him and you got no food in military. And what mashwara, what must I do? So he tells, Shivaji tells Alighiri's mother, I'm fighting with that person, I'm battling with that person, there's war, and how can I go and make mashwara with him? I said, I'm telling you, go do this. So he arranged meeting. He went to Alighiri and told Alighiri, see, you know what's happening, I'm fighting with you, we are at loggerheads, there's battle going on, but now that stuff is your food, what am I going to do? So he said that you apply to Alamgir, meaning you apply to me, that you have to stop this war for 10 years. And you apply to me, you want truth for 10 years. And first of all, you apply, you want truth, then you want it for 10 years, and then you will resume battle. I said, okay, no problem. And don't worry, because Islam teaches us that when you consult, this is an amana, this is a trust. I will not reveal it. So he officially, Shivaji sent a delegation and to Alamgir and told Alamgir that, listen, this is a difficulty. I'm at war with you, but I'm running out of food and I want truth. Alamgir said, yes, okay, you got truth. Said, how many years? 10 years. People ask Alamgir, why you did this? This is why, because Quran al-Kareem says, As-Sulul Khair, the peace is good. That to make peace and tranquility, that's very good. That's why I followed Quran al-Kareem. 10 years, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hudaybiyah, at Hudaybiyah he made peace pact for 10 years. For following Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. Peace you make for 10 years. And afterwards we'll see what will happen. Can you imagine now that he is making peace with his enemy, giving his enemy, not even a Muslim, time to recover so that he can fight another day. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous battle of Jamal, Kramat, in which Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha comes against him. After battling, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wins. When he wins, now there is consultation for you all. What to do with the prisoners? What to do with the group of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? And there are people, there are lives lost here. Thousands of lives lost. Respected elders, someone then said, no, take them prisoners. Take those who we have defeated, make them prisoners. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, shall I take the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, mother of the faithful, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as a prisoner of war and as booty and give it to one of you? The wife of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he must do this to. No. He went to her kajala. He went to her camel, and on top of the camel they should have those hodas. We should have the construction. So he went there and he addressed her. He asked her first of all of her well-being, how she is. He's hoping that he is not injured. She had a discussion with him, making dua for him, saying that I'm not harmed, I'm not injured. Then what he did, he got 40 ladies to accompany her out of the place towards Madinatul Munawwara. He took his sons and he told them, let's go with her for a day's journey. Go with her for a day's journey and see that she is absolutely safe. These days, unfortunately, that when there is differences of opinion in any strata, any level, any degree, whether it is alim or not alim, whether it is common man, then the difficulties arise when you have love for various things. You have love for popularity, love for fame, love for gain, love for money, love for seat, and market share. You don't want to give up market share. Everybody wants market share. In Delhi, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, rahmatullahi alayh, political leader, great scholar, great Sufi. He was going to have a political rally. And on the other side, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was going to have a gathering also and talk about tabligh and dawah. When these two elders reached their platforms, which was happening two different places in Delhi, then they were informed, each one of them was informed, that Maulana Hussain Ahmad Mandani Rahmatullah Ali was informed that Maulana Ilyas is having a gathering. And Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was informed Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani is having a gathering. So when Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani got up to speak, he said, see, that in certain place Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali is having a gathering, a get-together, you people go away from your go there. And Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali at his gathering told the public there, that see, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali is having a political gathering there, you people go there. When the interchange took place, no one reached anywhere, because obviously that when one left the other place, both places were left empty. But this is the accommodation, but this is the consideration. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali, he was obviously the Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Diyobad and completely anti-formation of Pakistan. Completely anti. They regarded the formation of Pakistan as completely un-Islamic. On the other hand, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, completely pro-formation of Pakistan. Both attached to Darul Diyobar. One completely against, one completely pro. Completely at loggerhead. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali comes to Thana Bhawan, the place, the residence of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He comes there and the Khanqah translates, we translate that as hospice. He comes there and he's closed. The person in charge, he does not know Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, his stages or his position. He says, no, it's closed now, you have to stay outside. So Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani doesn't tell him who he is. He says, okay, no problem. He takes his bedding, he says, where is Maulana Thanvi's house? So he showed him, he says, okay, went to the door of the house, put his bedding and slept there. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali got up in the morning, obviously tahajjud, opened the door, and see Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. He says, oh, why you never get me up? And they are one of them. So why you never get me up, firstly? Secondly, there's on another occasion when Hussain Ahmad Madani came there and announced, he said, why don't you tell me so that I could have prepared a special dish for you? And they asked, loggerheads. Then when they were discussing, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali told him, come sit right near me. So Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali said, no, I cannot. He said, I'm instructing you to come sit right. I'm instructing you. Today you don't have to see your position. Today you don't have to talk to your position. Today you don't have to discuss with your position. And Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali writes, and both of them, if you look at the letters, they write and praise each other. And they laud each other. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he brings a turban. And he presents it to Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali told him nicely, Hazrat, this is foreign material. And I don't use foreign material. I use only Indian material. The part of the struggle there was that boycott foreign products. He does not get upset. He says, see, Hazrat, I did not use this. One of Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gets up, goes to his house and brings cotton, which is produced locally in India, a turban made of cotton, brings it to him and then ties it on his head. Ties it on the head of Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. And remember what's happening politically, they are standing diametrically opposite. They are standing at loggerheads. But they are prepared to sit and talk and discuss and look for the benefit of the broader picture. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali then thanks him, because Maulana Thanvi was writing a big research about the females who are given talaq and the husbands disappear. That was his one of his major research papers. And he had utilized the services of Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madini Rahmatullah Alayh to source the jurisprudic rulings from Mecca, etc. And he is thanking the person who has got differences of opinion that, see, I appreciate. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they stated, they deferred on 100 issues. How many issues? Not one issue. 100 issues. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should say clearly that I prefer the company and the presence of Abdullah ibn Masud than sending him to Qadisiyah. The Battle of Qadisiyah, very famous, as it was a decisive battle during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, I would not send him there, I want him present. Although there were some differences with him. But some 100. So we should make dua, inshallah, especially during our times, that we learn to accommodate, we learn to understand, and we learn to go forward in life. Because unfortunately, the enemies of Islam, they laugh at us and they jeer at us. And this disunity brings, unfortunately, the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand this deen and practice this deen. Wa akhra da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allah Akbar. Allah.